Good everyone, and welcome to the Texas Instruments first quarter 2010 mid-quarter update. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ron Claymaker. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining TI's mid-quarter financial update for the first quarter of 2010. In a moment, I will provide a short summary of TI's current expectations for the quarter, updating the revenue and EPS estimate ranges for the company. In general, I will not provide detailed information on revenue trends by segments or in markets, and I will not address details of profit margins. In our earnings release at the end of the quarter, we will provide this information. As usual with our mid-quarter update, we will not be taking follow-up calls this evening. Considering the limited information available at this point in the quarter, and in consideration of everyone's time, we will limit this call to 30 minutes. For any of you who missed the release, you can find it on our website at ti.com/IR. This call is broadcast live over the web and can be accessed through TI's website. A replay will be available through the web. This call will include forward-looking statements that involve risk factors that could cause TI's results to differ materially from management's current expectations. We encourage you to review the safe harbor statement contained in the news release published today, as well as TI's most recent SEC filings for a complete description. We have revised our expected range for TI's revenue and earnings to the upper half of our previous ranges. We now expect TI revenue between $3.07 and $3.19 billion. This is a range of sequential growth of 2% to 6%. We expect earnings per share between 48 cents and 52 cents. Operator, you can now open the lines for questions. In order to provide as many of you as possible the opportunity to ask a question, please limit yourself to a single question. I will provide you the opportunity to ask a follow-up question. Operator?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question today, you may signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment or pick up your handset. If you found your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Again, that is star 1 to signal at any time. Our first question will come from Tim Luke with Barclays Capital.
Thank you so much. Ron, first I was just wondering, in raising your expectation for the revenue towards the upper end of the range, could you give us some sense of whether which arenas you've seen that strength in, whether it's in analog, high-volume analog, high-performance analog, high-volume analog, or in some of the wireless areas?
Okay, Tim. Let me describe it in terms of trends compared with our fourth quarter. So, in general, we expect all of our segments to grow sequentially this quarter, with the exception of wireless, where in wireless, baseband revenue will decline, you know, what would be a seasonally typical amount. Analog and embedded processing are both strong, and even selected areas inside of our other revenue are doing well. For example, DLP, where digital projection and 3D are now must-have technologies for cinemas, and 3D also has become a differentiator even in the educational projector market. So again, compared to fourth quarter, we expect all of the segments to be up sequentially, again, with the exception of wireless. Jeff, follow on, Tim?
Thanks so much. Could you give some color on the degree to which you may have been successful in lowering some of your lead times, and in how has it differed perhaps in some of the different areas, and to what extent have you been successful in building some inventory for this quarter? Thank you.
Okay. Let me hit the first part of your question. So with respect to, you know, what have been some supply constraints and extended lead times, I would describe that, in fact, we are making progress. You'll note this marks the third consecutive quarter where we've had elevated capital spending for TI. And as this capacity has come online, we're now seeing some demonstrable results. We've been able to reduce lead times for some products this quarter, although we still have many products that continue to have extended lead times. And, you know, Tim, I should be clear that this is the result of capacity increases at TI, especially in the assembly and test areas. The reduced lead times are not due to any softening of demand. So far, we've seen both revenue as well as orders quarter to date have remained strong, and they've remained strong even as we've begun to reduce the lead times. For your additional follow-up question that you asked about our inventory expectations this quarter, I would say that we do expect to be able to build some inventory this quarter. And, in fact, we could see a few days increase from the 76 days of inventory that we held at the end of last quarter. This certainly should better position us to support our customers and help us get our service metrics back to levels that that our customers are used to seeing from TI. Okay, Tim, thank you for your questions, and let's move to the next caller, please.
Our next question will come from Tori Somberg with Thomas Weisel Partners.
Yes, I was hoping you could talk a little bit about the distribution channel, what you're seeing as far as inventories and also sell-through of your products, please.
Okay, Tori. We expect what I would characterize as solid resale growth this quarter compared with last. From an inventory perspective, we expect distribution inventory probably to hold about the same level as what we saw last quarter from a turns basis or a weeks of inventory basis. Do you have a follow-on, Tori?
Yeah, could you also just comment on your visibility, you know, whether you feel like visibility is getting better, deteriorating, or is it about the same as last quarter?
Well, I would say probably not significantly different. And, Tori, you'll recall that with lead times extended, we've noted that customers have tended to give us more visibility in terms of what I would call extended backlog. And, I would say that that is really unchanged at this point. So probably not a lot of difference in visibility, but we do have good visibility out in time in terms of what our customers are telling us that that they need at this point. Okay, Tori, thanks for your questions, and we'll move to the next caller.
We'll hear now from Stacey Raskin with Sanford Bernstein.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. Regarding the inventory build you thought you were going to do this quarter, does that imply that your utilizations will also potentially be up a little more or more than you thought as of your last quarter's report?
No, Stacey. I think what we said last quarter or when we reported last quarter that we expected to hold first quarter utilization at about the same level as fourth quarter, and that remains unchanged. So about the same level of utilization this quarter as what we had last quarter.
Got
do you have a follow-on, Stacey?
Yeah, I do. Regarding your the consignment program that you got at distribution, so it looks like the 25% level of the disty inventory that you have in consignment has actually been held for a while. I know your plans, I think, eventually were to bring that to 50%. Any comments on when you think it might get there, and any comments maybe on increased visibility or anything you're getting from the disties due to the consignment program?
Stacey, what I would say is, we're probably, a little over 25% to date, as you noted, so somewhere in the 25 to 30% range. We began that program in June of 2008, so we're, 18 months or so into it. You're right that our expectation is that over time we'll have probably 50% range of our distribution revenues supported by consignment, and that remains unchanged. So, general time frame would probably be late next year, 2011, based on the pace that we're at. There certainly are some complexities in implementing a program like that. For example, our distributors have to have certain IT capabilities to be able to tie their systems into ours. And so, that surges, I guess I would say, in time. And it's also based upon, the various warehouses that we're shipping into, the capabilities at those various sites. So we're still on pace, but probably achievement of that 50% level late in 2011. As to visibility, I would say the program is working as planned. The fact that we have our systems tied into theirs, one, gives us very direct visibility into what's happening from a resale perspective on those programs, but then also gives us visibility, you know, into what they those distributors are expecting over time in terms of forecasts. So we're pleased with the program. It will continue to deploy probably at about the pace that you've seen thus far. Okay, Stacy, and I believe that was your follow-up question, so let's move to the next caller, please.
We'll now hear from Srini Pajuri with CSLA.
Thanks, Ron. You said the demand remained fairly healthy throughout the quarter. Just wondering, has the demand improved a bit here, or is the upside coming from the fact that you have better supply now?
Oh, that's a good question, Srini. I would say most of what we're describing here in terms of the uptick has to do with the demand side as opposed to the supply side. So again, we've made some improvements on lead times, but for the most part, I would say what we're seeing inside of this quarter has more to do with upticks in demand versus supply, but there certainly could be some supply side advantage as well. Do you have a follow on, Srini?
Yeah, just a quick one to the previous question. You said the utilization will remain flat. I'm just curious if demand is better and your inventories are going higher, why would the utilization just remain flat? Why wouldn't it go higher?
Well, I think what we said even last quarter when you know we had gotten our first of all, keep in mind utilization is a measure of wafer starts. So, you know, there's a period of time from which you start a wafer, whereas from an inventory standpoint, that wafer will gain value on the balance sheet as it's processed. And so what we were saying last quarter was the average utilization last quarter we thought was appropriate to handle what we anticipated demand looking like into this quarter, as well as what our inventory trends were. I don't believe last quarter when we announced we stated specifically what how much inventory we expected to build, so maybe that's part of it there as well. Okay, Srini, thanks for your questions, and let's move to the next question.
Adam Benjamin at Jefferies has our next question.
Thanks, Ron. Just on the extended lead times, a follow-up, did you have any, you know, so far in the quarter, have you seen any delivery issues there?
I'm not sure I understand that question, Adam.
Just what I'm asking is, you know, with extended lead times, have you had any inability to deliver product or meet customer demand? You know, you've previously talked about in other quarters that even with the extended lead times, you have satisfied those orders. So I'm just curious, so far this quarter, if you're meeting at least the delivery so far.
Yeah, I think we're meeting the deliveries to those extended lead times. So, you know, in terms of our called delinquencies or whatever, you know, we're holding well. But, you know, those extended lead times are longer than what we and our customers want from TI. So, you know, we're not satisfied with the performance from the perspective that the lead times are that extended, but at the same time, we are meeting the commitments that we're making to customers for the most part to those extended delivery commit dates. Do you have fun on, Adam?
Sure, and kind of along the same lines, you know, lead times coming in, although slightly it sounds like, and you've mentioned that orders are firming, should we assume that you haven't seen any order cancellations?
Cancellations have not trended up this quarter, and that's actually something that I know you guys are watching as well as we are. But, you know, again, as we're able to reduce the lead times thus far, we haven't seen cancellations. And, you know, maybe if I can spend just a minute on that, you know, I think it's true that, you know, as we reduce our lead times, you know, that customers don't necessarily need to have the same extended backlog if lead times are shorter versus if they're longer. But, you know, there are several considerations here. One would be, you know, TI literally has tens of thousands of products, and lead times adjustments, you know, basically happen by product, by package, by technology. So, you know, we'll watch cancellations We'll watch the backlog over time as we go forward to assess whether any adjustments in our customer backlog or orders reflect what I would describe as the noise of changing lead times versus the real signal of changing demand. But again, thus far we haven't seen anything in the overall order trend. Also, on that same front, you know, there are a couple of other considerations. One is that about 45% of our business today is conducted via EDI with our customers and various distributors. And under this arrangement, basically, we're building to a customer's MRP forecast, and there really is no traditional order backlog. If, in these cases, if lead times change, there really would be no impact to TI's backlog for this business, because there is no backlog. And then, you know, final point I would make is that our method of recognizing orders provides some backlog protection against changing lead times in environments like this. So, for example, you know, for the 30% of our business that goes through distribution, we only recognize distributors' orders that are scheduled to ship within the next 3 months. Outside of that window, the shipment is scheduled from an operations perspective, but it's not included in our backlog of orders from a financial perspective. OEM customer orders are handled similarly, except for OEM customers, the recognition window is 6 months. So think about that system basically, you know, serving as a governor to prevent overstatement of orders in strong markets. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, combination of those considerations why, you know, as lead times reduce, we may not see a big adjustment in terms of a backlog and customer order trends. Okay, Adam, thank you for your questions, and let's move to the next caller, please.
We'll now hear from Chris Stanley with J.P. Morgan.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Given that utilization rates are flat and the mix appears to be improving, can we see flat to up gross margins this quarter?
Chris, you know, I probably really don't have a lot of input on gross margins at this point in the quarter, other than, you know, a more general statement that, first of all, over the longer term, we believe gross margin has room for additional expansion. But whereas factory utilization has been, you know, over the last, year, really a big factor, maybe the biggest factor, in gross margin expansion, you know, considering that today we're really back at normal utilization levels, going forward, that will be less of a factor, and the biggest driver, gross margin, you know, will probably come down to product mix, and that's really over time, as analog and embedded processing continue to grow faster, and those areas have profitability levels above the corporate average. And then, you know, final point I would say just on, you know, a driver of gross margin going forward is we continue to work aggressively to lower our manufacturing costs. And, you know, one example of that would be, you know, as we're able to ramp our fab over time and, you know, enjoy the benefits of, you know, probably what would be some cost advantage 300-millimeter production of analog products compared with, you know, what we've done historically in 200-millimeter for analog. Do you have fun on, Chris?
Yes, thank you. I guess just a little bit of color on the lead times. Can you just give us a sense of when the lead times started to decline? And it sounds like they've only come in a little bit. So if you could also give us a sense of perhaps when you expect the lead times to normalize and maybe how much they have gone down.
Yeah, I probably don't have a lot of satisfying data for you on that, Chris. You know, what I really look at is just, you know, thus far in the quarter where lead times, in general, the distribution of lead times are compared with the end of the year. And what I would describe is, you know, we've made some progress. You know, it's not across all products. It's not across all packaging technologies, but again, nonetheless, it's real progress. I think the back part of your question was when will we see even more progress and, you know, call it capacity catching up with demand. You know, I would say that, you know, I think our manufacturing operations really have done a superb job of ramping to support a demand profile that has been rapidly increasing and also upsiding for the past several quarters. Our revenue, if you think about it, this quarter will be about 50% above the year-ago quarter's level. You know, we've been expanding our capacity now for several quarters, and, you know, we've got to the point where we're now able to start reducing lead times. Certainly, as we move forward, we will see and expect to see additional progress. And, you know, I guess on the one hand, our capacity ramp is well understood, but predicting when we're going to have capacity and demand balance also requires a projection about demand. And although we have certainly some internal projections, you know, we're not really at a point where we want to make those public at this point. Okay, Chris, thank you for your questions, and we'll move to the next comment.
We'll go to Yuchi Orji with UBS. Yuchi,
thank you very much.
Hi, Yuchi.
Hi. A couple of questions, Ron. If I look one step below on the P&L statement, given this upside to revenue, is there any more thoughts as to how operating expense will have to adjust to match this revenue upside, or is there not much of a change there?
I would say not much of a change. Are you talking about inside of the quarter, UHA?
Yes, inside of the quarter.
Yeah, no, I think I wouldn't expect any change specific to the adjustment in revenue. I think Kevin in the last conference call made some comments about what would be affecting operating expense this quarter in terms of, you know, maybe a higher level of profit sharing as we enter a calendar year where we expect profitability for the company to be higher. Then he also talked about the fact that we'd be implementing raises, annual raises, in February. So both of those are, in fact, in place, but we don't expect higher revenue to affect either of those items at this point. Do you have a follow-on, Uche?
Yes, I do. I don't know if you can talk about specific segments like wireless or maybe PCs as well. PCs, obviously, the commentary has been that PCs are running ahead of normal seasonality. You know, within wireless, what is your sense as to how that is tracking? And, you know, you've done so well to continue to increase revenue there, even though Nokia, biggest customer, is about to start moving programs elsewhere. Are we starting to see any signals this quarter that the wireless programs are supposed to start to go away, have started to go away?
I think let me address the latter part, and then I'll make some broader statements about, you know, in markets and demand. But with respect to the wireless programs, I think the only program that I'm aware of that is on the near-term horizon will be in the edge area, where, again, there's a supplier there that's coming on board. But, you know, I'll also quickly follow that with edge really represents a pretty small part of our customers' product portfolio, and, you know, it will likely require some suppliers coming on board in the 3G area before, you know, you would really start to expect it to have a notable impact on our baseband revenue there. And so, you know, stay in tune with, you know, what those suppliers are saying. I don't have anything specific to tell you other than, you know, listen to those suppliers, listen to our customer on, on their 3G plans. But the only thing I'm aware of that's coming on near term will be some relatively small 3G business. Let me make a few comments just more broadly about in-market drivers, if I may. So, you know, I know I talked a little bit about products before, but from an in-market perspective, you know, I would say growth continues to be, in fact, even more so, is broad across end markets. As we had expected, demand is strong this quarter in the industrial markets, where that sector really began its recovery later than others, and, you know, that therefore continues in force today. You know, from product line perspective, industrial is especially impactful to our catalog revenue, both in embedded processing as well as in the high-performance analog area. We're also seeing continued strength in areas such as comms infrastructure, computing, and, you know, its related peripherals that we're engaged with, automotive, and then finally an area I would note would be HDTV. Another area I didn't mention inside of wireless is that smartphones are strong, you know, especially when compared against the seasonally normal declines that handsets overall would see in the first quarter. So, again, those are some areas of strength in the quarter. Okay, Uche, thank you for your questions, and we'll move to the next caller, operator.
We'll hear from Glenn Young at Citi.
Thanks. Ron, you've had obviously periods in the past where lead times have expanded and contracted and vice versa. I wonder if you could compare and contrast how your customers are responding in this environment versus other periods where you've had this kind of movement in lead times.
You know, it varies because, you know, what is a little different in this environment is, you know, as we've continued to deploy EDI and consignment programs to more customers, more distributors, deeper within those customers and distributors, you know, the concept of traditional component inventory that those customers and distributors own has lessened. And, you know, that's more inventory that we're managing for them, that we're carrying on our balance sheet. So that would be one difference. Beyond that, you know, I would just say there's, you know, a lot of direct communication we're having with customers. You know, when products become, you know, more constrained and the supply becomes more constrained, you know, that's an important time both for TI as well as our customers to have some pretty open and honest discussions about what the real demands are, what's our shipment, supply capacity, et cetera. And so, you know, we're having a lot of those open, frank discussions, but probably the bigger change is just that we have more on consignment today than what we ever would have had historically. Jeff, follow on, Glenn?
Well, just to clarify, that, is that to suggest that you expect to see less volatility as a result of change?
I think clearly where we have consignment, there should be less volatility because the customer, you know, doesn't have their own warehouse of inventory that they're either trying to build up or that they're trying to correct over the course of the cycle. So it does have a dampening effect, you know, outside of those customers, you know. And by the way, you know, that represents between what we have on consignment alone is 40%, and then, you know, what we have in distribution probably takes that number up closer to 60%. You know, that's a very significant part of our revenue these days that we have, you know, call it pretty clear visibility into. So, you know, and as I said before, you know, 45% or so of that is directly on an EDI type of program. So, in any case, you know, I think a good part of our revenue is, call it dampened, using your word, in terms of the swings in inventory that might be in the channel or at the various customers. And, you know, the remainder, I'm sure we'll see similar type of behavior as we have historically in the past. But even for that, we and our customers, I think, try to get better. Okay, Glenn, thank you for your questions, and let's move to the final caller, operator.
That will be Ramesh Misra with Brigantine Advisors.
Hi, Ron. Thanks for taking my question.
Sure.
In regards to the improvement on the back-end bottlenecks, is that purely due to improvements in TI's own back-end facilities, or is this also happening at your external test and assembly partners?
I think, you know, by far the improvement would be the incremental capacity that we put in place over the last few quarters, and that's inside TI, not through our subcontractors. Jeff, follow on, Ramesh?
Okay, a very quick one. Can you talk about order trends in Asia post the Chinese New Year?
I would say demand has picked up in Asia. I mean, again, that gets a bit granular, but in fact, yes, there was a holiday. You know, as we expected, there was a bit of a slowdown during that holiday, and we've seen demand accelerating since uh, since those customers have gone back to work. So probably what I would say is a pretty normal expectation for impact through the holiday, but demand clearly building after the holiday as well. Okay, Ramesh, thank you for your questions. And before we end the call, let me remind you that the replay is available on our website. Thank you and good evening.
Again, that concludes our conference. We thank you for joining us.